Okay, today's daf is at daf chav dalet. So we got to the top of the Mishnah over there, around 8 lines down. The Mishnah begins. This is a much easier daf. The Mishnah says, "Mitzvah begadol liabim vim kidem hakatan zachas." The din is that the mitzvah, we always go to the oldest child first, the oldest brother who's alive. He's the first option for the yibam. And if he doesn't want to, or if kadem hakatan, the katan goes ahead and performs yibam before the other brother, that's acceptable b'diavad. So in terms of this mitzvah of the Yibam B'Gadol, the Ritva points out just off the bat that it's only true if the Gadol is Roy, a Hagun of some sort. He's appropriate, he's fitting to be with this woman. But if it's somehow inappropriate, it doesn't describe and define how one who's Hagun, who's not Hagun, but he has to be Hagun. If he's not Hagun, so then we would certainly choose a younger brother. Now there's another din that is only true that the mitzvah B'Gadol, if the Gadol does not have a wife already, if he already has a wife, so then we would not push him. We would encourage one of the other brothers. But in terms of chalitza, if chalitza is the route that they're going to take, so the Beis Shmuel says that even if the oldest brother has a wife already, he is the preferable one to perform chalitza. But the others argue and say, no, I'm saying, Beis Shmuel says the other way around. Beis Shmuel says, even if it's just chalitza, if the older brother has a wife, we don't want him to do chalitza, just like we don't want him to do yibam, he doesn't do chalitza either, we give it to the other brothers who might be single. But the truth is, Yehuda Yala writes, that's only true of yibam. Meaning if the oldest brother has a wife, he doesn't do yibum. But if he's doing chalitza, then he's allowed to do chalitza even if he does have a wife. Either way, that's the Mishnah, mitzvah, begadol liyabim. So the Gemara now says, Tanir Rabban, the Brisa says, based on the Pasuk, the Tarshin, the Pasuk, Vaya Bechor, the Bechor is, what does it mean? Mikan she mitzvah begadol liyabim. Here we learn that the mitzvah is to have the oldest brother, not necessarily the Bechor, but the oldest brother. In other words, if the oldest, let's say the Bechor died, so the next oldest brother would be the one to perform Yibam. So the Gemara and halfway down is going to figure out, so what the Bechor, what that word is coming to teach us. If it doesn't really mean Bechor, what do we do? What do we learn from the word Bechor? Either way, Haya Bechor Mikan Mitzvah Begadol, we go for the oldest brother to perform Yibam. The Pasuk then says, Asher Teileda, that they should have children. Pratla Islandists, that we know islandists cannot have children. Sheino Yoladis, so islandists is Pater, if she's the Obama. There's a pup-tour from Yibam Mechalitza. Yakum al Shem Achiv, that the Yavam, the brother-in-law, is going to continue the name of his brother. Lenach, that refers to what does it mean? He's going to continue the name. It means he's going to take on the properties, Yorish, all the property of that brother, and they don't divide it amongst the other Yorishim. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Ata Omer Lenach, you think Yakum al Shem Achiv means Lenach, that he's going to inherit, the Yavam will inherit the mace's property? Oh, Enu Elo L'Shem, maybe it really means he's going to inherit the name of the deceased. What does that mean? Yosef, if the brother who died, his name was Yosef, Korno, so Yosef, the child, the first son from the Yavam Yavama, should be named after the deceased. If it was Yochanan, Korno, so Yochanan, it means L'Shem Achen, it's a mamish. So Gemara says, can't be. We don't take this word literally, because Nemar Kan Yakum Al-Shem Achiv, V'Nemar Lahalan Al-Shem Achayim, a different pasuk Yikru Menachalasam, Ma shame ha'amr lahalan nachla. Just like over there, the word shame is in the context of nachla. Here too as well, by yivam, af shame ha'amr kan is lenachla. But then the Gemara darshan is the pasuk lo yimache shemo, that we should not erase the name of the deceased. Prat lesris sheshmo machoy esris. If the yavam is not able to have children, he too is in essence erasing the name of the deceased, and there too would be a tour of the mitzvah of yivam. So Gemara then says, after darshaning all these different phrases, Amar Rava, Rava says, Alpha Gav, even though we have a klal in general. The Becholat Torah Kula, Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuta. We cannot remove the Pashup Shad of a Pasuk. Hacha, here is different. This is an exception where we do not take the Pasuk literally, because Asik Zer Shava Afiksa Mipashi Lagamri. Because the Gzer Shava took it, removed it from the Pshat entirely, because we don't take the word shame literally. Rather, we use the Gzer Shava to tell me that he's Yorish Tanachla, but you don't have to name the child after the deceased. Because Ilav Gzer Shava, had there not been a Gzer Shava, however, I mean, I would have thought shame mamish meant the name, to name the child after the deceased. So we don't learn that way. This is an exception to the klal of ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. So now the Gemara wants to know, who exactly is this referring to? Leman kemazer rachmana. Who is the Torah warning to name the child? In this havamina, that we thought to name the child after the deceased, who is exactly the Torah talking to? So Leman Kimazahi Rahman, who's the Torah warning? Liyavim is referring to Yavim that you should name the child after your brother. It should say Yakum al Shem Achich Mibale, that we're talking to you, Yavim, name it after your brother, but the Pasuk says Achiv, his brother. So it can be referring to the Yavam. And Ila Beit Din, if he's talking to the Beit Bezdin, should make sure that the child should be named after his brother, it should have said Hachi Kamar. Sorry, Ilave Dina Yakum Al Shem Achi Avim Mibale. The Bezin's being told make sure the child is named after the uncle. So it should have said Shem Achi Aviv. So it's unclear. It's not referring to not the brother, the Yavam, nor is it referring to the Bezin because something is inaccurate in the pasuk. So Gemara says, wait a minute, maybe Dilma Hachi Kamar. Maybe the pasuk is understood in this Havamina. Dilma Hachi Kamar. Lurachmana. Lebezin, they're saying the Torah song, Lebezin, Amrule, you Bezin should warn the Yavam. So Bezin is now talking to Yavam. They're giving him the dialogue, what to say. Amrule le Yavam, tell the Yavam, Yachem Ashimachiv. They're telling him, you should name it after his brother. So that's Bezin talking of Achiva, his brother. So that's all the Havamina. Okay, just getting a little accurate there. And then, even though that was all the Havamina, Ela Asi Gzer Shava of Fikta Legame, the Gzer Shava of Shame Shame tells us we don't learn the pasuk that way. You don't name the child after the deceased, rather deferring to Nachla. So now the Gemara says, after establishing Hashad Amris Krab Begadoksif, after we establish that the mitzvah of a Yibum is for the oldest brother, not the Bechor, so now, what is the word Bechor coming to teach us? The Gemara is going to make around 8 different suggestions, what we learn from Bechor. Each one's rejected until we finally get to an answer at the end. So Ema, what is the word Bechor teaching me? Maybe it means, Ema, Bechor liyavam, Pashat lo liyavam. Maybe only the Bechor should be able to do Yibum, but a Pashat, a non-Bechor, another brother, should not be able to do the mitzvah of Yibum. So Gemara says it can't be because im kain eishes achiv shalohaya ba'olamo demi rachman olamali. Then you would never need to exclude that because what's this concept of eishes achiv shalohaya ba'olamo means that there was an older brother who died and then the younger brother we say, oh, you can't do yibum because you were not in the world at the same time. But had you been in the world at the same time, you can do yibum. But wait a second, that younger brother by definition is a pashut. He's not a bechor. So the fact that we have to exclude two brothers who did not live together, implying if they lived together, they can do the mitzvah of Yibum, must be a younger brother who, again, is a Yipashit, is part of the mitzvah of Yibum.
What if they're the only two siblings? A man dies with no siblings, and then a brother is born.
Yeah, and Echanami, therefore what?
So then you'd have to exclude Eshesach and Shalom.
There's no more, because before he died.
Right.
No. But we said before that if the Bechor dies, then the title of Bechor goes on to brother number two.
Exactly. No, not that Bechor. He's not a Bechor anymore. He's a Pashit. A Bechor is only the firstborn child Bechor.
So the Havamina here is that if the Bechor dies, there's no Yibum.
Exactly. That's Havamina. There's no Yibum. If there's no Yibum, so they never have to have an exclusion of two brothers not being in the same world.
It's either the Bechor or not.
Exactly. So then the Gemara says, okay, so can't be the case. That can't be the case. So therefore, Bechor is not coming to exclude a Pashit. A Pashit certainly can do Yibum. So then, Parach Rav Acha, he asks another question. Ema, maybe Lemute Bechor Di'ima. Maybe referring to only a Bechor of the father, but a Bechor of the mother doesn't do Yibum. So Gemara says, that can't be a concern, because the Yibum, Benachla Tal Rachmana, Benachla Mina'av, Lo Mina'im. So the word Bechor is, by definition, only refers to from the father, not from the mother. In other words, we have only the brothers who share the same father subject to Yibum. But one who's from the mother's side is not subject to. So Gemara says we don't have to exclude that. We already know by definition that only those who include in Nachla, who are the brothers to the father, are part of this parsha. You don't have to have the word Bechor also tell me that. So that can't be part of the discussion. Ema, maybe the word Bechor tells me, Kik Bechor, when there's a Bechor in the family, this guy mitzvah b'Yibum. There's a mitzvah b'Yibum, even a pasha could do it. But as long as there's a Bechor, there's some Bechor, then another brother could do it. But Kileka Bechor, there's no Bechor, but there are other brothers. Maybe that case, Lo Tiskai Mitzvah Yibum. There shouldn't be Yibum at all when there's no brother, no Bechor in the picture. So Gemara says, can't be. Because Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, Umeis Echamem, one of them dies. Sound like one of the two dies. Milo Askinan Demeis Bechor, and yet still Amar Achman Eliyabim Katan. So the Pasuk says, if one of them die, which sounds like one of the two die, so it doesn't make a difference whether the Bechor dies and there's a Pashit alive, or the Pasha dies and the Bechor is alive, who cares? Even if the Bechor is dead, as long as one of the brothers are alive, you can still deibum. So that's not a fair Havamina either. So then the Gemara says, Ema, maybe, Demeis Katan, maybe it's where the child died, the younger one died, Vam Rachman Eliyabim Bechor. So maybe the child died, the younger one died, and that's when the Bechor is alive. So maybe that's what it means, Echamim, if one of them dies. Meaning one of them means the younger brother dies, and the Bechor is alive. So only when the Bechor is alive is there a mitzvah Yibum. Gemara says, can't be, because Ha, Mit Rachmana, Eishes Achav Shalahia Balama, similar to what we said above, which is by definition a case where the older one died, and the younger one is born afterwards. That's certainly a case where there's no Bechor anymore, And yet we still have to exclude that case, so implying that if they were both in the world together, we could have a scenario of Yibum, even if the Bechor has died and the Pasha, the Katan, is alive. So then, again, each of the Habanis are very nuanced. But again, if we get through this, we'll get to the bottom line at the end. So then the Gemara says, V'ema, maybe, Kilaka Bechor, when there is no Bechor in the picture, Kadam, Kadan, Zacha. So if the child jumps the line, the younger one jumps the line, and he does Yibum, he's Zacha. But Iika Bechor, if there is a Bechor in the picture, maybe Kadam, Kadan, Lo Zacha. If the younger brother jumps the line, then that we wouldn't accept it, wouldn't work. Only if there's no Bechor does this Kadam, Kadan, Zacha. Amar Kadapazik says, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachdav, when the brothers live together in the same world, Huksha Yeshivas Achim Zezah, they're both equal. In other words, we don't care whether the Katan or the Yavam and the Bechor, we don't care the Gadol, who's going first. They all have an equal chance. Yes, we encourage the oldest one if we can, but if the Katan goes ahead, since Hukshu Yeshiva Achim Zezah, Bein Bechor, Leka Bechor, Bein Ika Bechor, either way, Katan, Katan, Zacha. So Gemara then says, Ve'ema, maybe, Ki'ika Bechor, when there is a Bechor, Lehadra Agadol, we chase after the older brother. But Kileka Bechor, Ein Chosen Eitz Agadol. But if there's no Bechor, but there are, let's say, five other brothers, we don't look for the oldest. I mean, the only time we look for the oldest is if the oldest is a Bechor. But if the oldest is not a Bechor, so then we don't look for the oldest. We say either one of the five brothers could go for it. So Gemara says, Alam Atana, how come we have a Braisa? Abai Kashisha, he taught a Braisa, the Mitzvah Begadol Liyav. Lo Ratza, if we say the oldest one should do Yibum. Lo Ratzah, he doesn't want to. Holchen Eitzel Achiv HaKatan. He should go to the his younger brother. Lo Ratzah, Chosen Eitzel Gadol. If he doesn't want to, and the younger brother doesn't want to either, all the younger brothers refuse to, then we go back to the oldest one, and Rashi, we actually force the older one to do Chalitza. So we say, we encourage the first one, he says no. We go to the next one, he says no. We go to the next one, no. Next one, no. If by all, they go down the line of brothers, then we force the oldest one to do this. Now, the implication here is, when if the Gadol refuses, we go to the Achiv Katan, doesn't mean we go to the youngest, we go to the younger one beneath him, but there might be younger brothers than him. So we see we don't go based on Bechor only, we also go based on the oldest, the order of age. So godless, as opposed to Bechor, is actually a relevant factor. So even when there's no Bechor, we still go after the oldest. So Gemara says, Ki Bechor. Ma Bechor Becharaso Garmelo, Av Gadol Gdulaso Garmelo. It's a little bit tricky how to understand this, but the understanding, I believe, is that just like a Bechor, his Bechor status causes him to get double portion in general, so too in the context of Yibum, we're not saying you need to have a Bechor, but the same halacha as a Bechor, in other words, the Gadlus, it's the age that causes the order, the precedence in terms of the mitzvah of Yibum. That's what we learn from Bechor. Not that he is a Bechor only, but the halachas of Bechor apply to the godless, the ages of Yibum. Okay, either way, we have not found a satisfying understanding of Bechor. So then the Gemara says, one last suggestion. Ve'ema ki miyabim Bechor lishkol nachla. Maybe if the Bechor is the one who does Yibum, that's when he's zocha to the nachla of the deceased. But if a non-Bechor does Yibam, we already proved he can do Yibam, but maybe he shouldn't take lo lishkol nachla. Maybe he shouldn't take the nachla. Maybe that's the distinction between Bechor and a Pasha. Amakra, Yachem Hashem Achiva. Who takes the Bechor and the nachla, rather? He who stands in the shoes of his brother, the deceased. Vahare Kam, and the Pasha was willing to do so. So why would it be fair that he'd lose the nachla? So that can't be true either. So we established all the lachas of, we rejected all the suggestions. So what does the word Bechor finally teach us? Ella must be Bechor Dekar Yachmano. What's the reason why the Torah refers to the Yibum as Bechor? L'may Hilchasa, top line of Chav Dalam and Beza, Ligrius, it actually detracts, it actually weakens his ability. In what way? Because even though the Yavam is taking the Nachla of the deceased, it's limited. How is it limited? Because it's special halacha by a Bechor in general. Bechor is a Yoresh's father. He takes Pishnayim double portion. But even though he takes double portion, it's limited. Ma Bechor eino notel b'roi k'muchsak. He doesn't take the potential possessions like the ones that are being held onto. I'll explain what that means in a second. Af hai eino notel b'roi k'muchsak here as well. So when a Bechor is Yoresh's father, the father dies. So the Bechor takes double portion. Now he only takes double portion of that which is currently in the possession of his father, that he has a muchzak, he's muchzak on that possession. But any potential Yerusha coming in, he does not take. So for example, let's say the father dies. After the father dies, the grandfather dies, so that Yerusha goes to the father who's buried, from the father to the other brothers now. That comes later on. That Yerusha, the Bechor, does not get double portion, because at the time of the father's death, the father didn't have that possession yet. So Bechor only takes Pishnaim on that which is Muchzuk, not that which is Ra'oi. So here as well, when the Yavam is Yorish the dead brother, the mace, he only Yorish that which is currently Muchzuk by the brother. But if the other Yerusha comes in after the brother A dies, that does not go, the Ra'oi does not go to the Yavam. That's the way we could be connected to Bechor, rather Yavam to Bechor. Now, Tosa points out there could have been a nafkamina, a different nafkamina the Gemara could have suggested. The top Tosa says, Lamai Hilchaz Legriusa. Omeri, the Havimati, the Meimar Lechashivusa. You could have actually said to his benefit, why is a Yavam like a Bechor? Because a Bechor has an advantage. Sheni Rushaso Choseres Beyova. It doesn't go back. The Gemara is at the end, maybe the eighth parak of Maseches Bechoris, talks about a Matana versus a Nachla. The difference is, if I gifted someone property, and Yovel, I get it back. It's on Matana. But if someone inherited a Nachla, that does not return back, however it would might come, how it would. But Nachla does not go back. It does not revert back Yovel. Once it goes to the person, my Nachla, it stays to him forever. So the Gemara says that a Bechor, his property is like a Nachla. So whatever he gets, he keeps forever. It does not go back to the family and does not get redivided through Yovel. So what we could have said here is when the Yavam is Yorish the brother, Yovel does not send it back and redivide it. He keeps it forever. Could have suggested that, and that would have been a benefit that he has, but for whatever reason, the Gemara did not make this suggestion as the nafkamina. Fine. So now the new Mishnah tells us here in Chav Dalet Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Hanitan al hashivcha v'nishtachra, o al ha'ovedes kochavim, v'niskaira hareza lo yichnos, v'mkanas ein motzin miyado. So I'll read Rashi and we'll reread the Mishnah in a second. What does the word nitan mean? Nitan means chashid. We suspect that this Reuven is with a non-Jew. And says Rashi, the language of Nitan is Klomer, Shetan in Olav, Davarlaz, Dibirlaz. They speak bad. Reuven was with this Shifcha. So that's what Toein, Nitan means that people are talking about in the claims. So it says in the Mishnah again, read it one more time. Ha Nitan al Hashifcha in the Shachra, and then she becomes freed. While she's a Shifcha, he was Nita. There's rumors about him. She became freed afterwards, which means she's now a full fledged Jew. Oh, Avedes Kochavim, he was with a non Jew, Viniskaira, she converted. Ha Reza Lichnas, he should not get married to her. Why not? Rashi says, Mishimlad, because people are going to speak, Shelo Yomru Emes Hayah Kol Rishon Ad, those rumors, he denied the rumors initially. And now, a couple years later, she converts and he gets married to her. Oh, remember 2 years ago, that whole rumor? That must have been true. We don't want people talking about what happened. So don't get married to this girl. Leave her alone. Vim kind of said, they get married, ain't Motsin Miyada. We don't force him to get the divorce, because in the end of the day, he's allowed to get married to her. However, Nitan al Ashes Ish, if a person, there's rumors about a man with another person's wife, then Hotziu, then Bezin makes sure they get divorced, of Hotziu, and then, sorry, no, he gets divorced from the first one, rather, from the Baal Harishon, because she was usher now. Now they suspect that she was with another man, so now the husband has to divorce the wife. We do not let Mitachas Yado, Ava Bishakanas, even if the Boel, the other man, marries this woman, Yotsu, we force him to get divorced. Look at Rashi. Hanitan al Ashes Ish Veltziwa, Bezdin, Mitachas Baila, that we force this woman to get divorced from the husband because we assume she was with another man. Bishul Zesha Asr Lava, Bahalach Zevanasa. Now, this other man who's called the Boel, there's the Baal, the husband, the Boel is the other man who was with this Ashes Ish. That Baal now marries this girl, now she's divorced, she's a Grusha, she's free. Yotzi, we make them get divorced. The Mederaisa Asur Nami Labo. The din is that this woman, when she's with another man while married, she's also Labal to her husband. She also Asur Laboel, so we can't allow them to stay married. So that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara now says, Ha Giures Mia Havia. Now, if they were to get converted, if she were to convert, the conversion is good. And so the problem with that is, seemingly she converted because she wanted to marry this guy. Right? She was with a Jew. And now, 2 years later, they get married and she converts. So it must be the reason why they get the conversion work, because even though it was l'shem ishus, she converted to marry this man. It's acceptable. Look at Rashi writes, Ho giyores mia havya, v'yafo gav d'lovnes gairu l'shem yahadas. Even though she didn't convert because she really believed in the religion, ella, because of bishvil, she said it was that because she wanted to marry this guy, we still accept it. So that's a big problem, the Gemara asks. Urmini, echad ish shenis gairu l'shem isha, if a guy converts just so he can marry a Jewish woman, V'yachad isha shenis gair l'shum ish, or a woman converts so that she can marry a Jewish man. V'chein mi shenis gair l'shum shulchem lachem, or because times are good for the Jews, the shulchem lachem to marry into a wealthy family, l'shum avdei shlomo to marry into the servants of the, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, to marry into the Jewish families. Einam gairim, that's not a good gairis. Divrei Rabbi Nechemia, that's Rabbi Nechemia's understanding. Shehayu Rabbi Nechemia omer, Echad gairi arayas, which is referring to Psukim and Tanakh, where there are certain lions came and they were forced, they felt a, they were forced into conversion. They felt So they had some dream that someone said you should convert. Of Yechad Geria Mordechai VeEsther, which Rashi invokes the pasuk at the end of Esther, Perkes Rabbi Me'ami Aretz Misyadim, they converted. All these cases, they actually ain't them game. They're not good. She is Gairu Bismanazet until they convert in Bismanazet nowadays. Wait a second. Bismanazet works. Only Bismanazet, only in his time, everybody had his time, not nowadays. Ela'ema Kibismanazet, only if it's times like we live in now, which are times that are not so good. Meaning we don't want people converting for some other reason. Only way conversion is good is mamish l'shem yadis, they believe in the religion. But if it's for some other reason, for marriage, if it's for money, if it's for respect, if it's for protection, it's for safety, those are not good reasons. You know, someone's telling me with, the Israeli, Israel set up these different hospitals and camps in Ukraine to help out the refugees. So a lot of people have been pretending they're Jewish because they want to be protected and taken care of by the Israelis. So anyone who wants to convert just because of protection and safety and whatnot, that doesn't work. So how can we suggest above, if they converted so that they could get married in our Mishnah, that should not be acceptable. So the Gemara says, no. Ha'itmar la, Amar Reb Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, b'shmei d'rav, halacha k'divrei omer kulam gerim him. We paskin that actually the geris is acceptable. Although l'chachila, we say one should not convert for these reasons, but the evidence, if they were to convert for marriage or for money or for protection, that all would be acceptable. And that's the understanding of the Mishnah. Now, ihachi, that's the case. L'chachila nami. So let them l'chachila get married. Why do we say l'chachila, he shouldn't get married to the shifcha, but if they get married, but the evidence is acceptable. L'chachila, he should be able to. Gemara says, Mishum de Rav Asi, Dama Rav Asi. He quotes a pasuk in Mishnah. The pasuk says, "Haser says Haser mimcha ikshus peh ulizus svasai megomer. Remove the speakings of the mouth, why, and of the lips, because what happens is people are going to talk about. Oh, remember that guy and that girl that shifcha 2 years ago? They start talking about it. They get married now. We don't want people talking about these types of topics, and therefore we try to avoid them to get married for this reason. But if they get married, it's still acceptable. That's why b'dievet. That's why the chachila. We discourage them from getting married, lest people start talking about what happened a couple years ago. So Gemara now says, before you go ahead, look at Tosis for a second. Tosis writes, Mishum derav asi hasim imcha akshus pevechule. Omeri rewrites, Diminitan al hapnuya. Let's say this man was with a single girl, a Jewish lady, a single girl. So, ein lahachmir milichnas mishum lazus vasim. Maybe this case, Reuven and Sarah had been with each other as single people, and people were talking about it was inappropriate. And 2 years later, they get married. So maybe we should say, don't let them get married because they're going to start talking about what they did in high school with each other. And that would be inappropriate. So Tos writes, in terms of that, we don't buy a pnuya. That's not such a concern. Why? Because adrabba, we actually mitzvah lekon. So we actually say it's preferable to marry that girl. Why? Because the banusa kasev losi elisha. If a person rapes another girl, the pasuk says you should dafka marry her. So if a guy was with another girl, a single girl, that's actually encouraged according to Tos's understanding. Very different than the case of a ovedes chachavim or a shivcha. So now the Gemara says, Tani Rabban, Ein Mekablin Gerim Limos Mashiach. In the times of Mashiach, we are not going to accept any more Gerim. And Kiyotzi Bo in a similar way, Lo Kiblu Gerim Lo Bimei David Lo Bimei Shlomo. In the times of David and Shlomo, where life was good for the Jews, we did not accept Gerim because they seemingly joined us because they wanted a life that was good, not because they believed in us and Kadosh Baruch Hu as the true religion. So Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Mikra, what's a pasuk that supports this, that only when times are not good do we accept Gerim? It says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, Hein Gor Yagur Efes Meosi Migartach Alachipo. What that means is Hain Gor means who's going to convert Ger? Yagur, those who are going to convert. Efes Meosi, when there's nothing. When there's nothing, when Kaisel is not enjoying life, Migartcha Alachipo. Then it's going to be Chal, the Ger's Bichal. When there's Efes, when there's nothing, that's when acceptable. Aval Idach, when there's times that are good, lo, we would not accept Gerim because they're coming from some ulterior motives. The Gemara then says that before we go right in the Gemara, Tosas asks the following question. If you look at Tosas, Dimaskal Lobi Me David Lobi Me Shlomo, go down on 4 lines in that Tosas about Kasha. Dimaminam Behaariel, Gemara tells us, Gavi Maisa de Givonim, Dibime David, Nitosfu, Gerim Al Yisrael, Kufnun Elef, 150,000 Jews converted, people converted at the time of David. How could that be? Our Gemara just said, we did not accept Gerim in the time of David. Here, we accepted a lot of Gerim. Says Tosos, V'yesh lomar, de'me'atzmam nisgairu. They converted on their own, not through a bezin, on their own. How does that work exactly? Unclear. Seemingly, it's not good geirus. They pretended they were Jewish. Kid ashkichan gavi Mordechai v'Esther, like the Gemara itself invoked. Rabbi ma'am he'aretz misyadim. Misyadim. They somehow, on their own, it was reflexive. They only, me'atzmam, they became Jewish. So it wasn't really acceptable. That's, I don't know what that meant to them, but we had to view them as separate people. Now,
cultural appropriation.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. So then it writes, V'yesh svarim, Shekasa behen lo kiblu gerim lo bimei davar lo bimei shlomo el shenasu gerim groom. They became low level gerim. V'ha'hi the beperak beis the Shabbos says tell us well ah the gemara there. How the also lekami to Hillel, a certain guy came to Hillel. He says, "Giranu, I'm not slaying such a Kohen Gadol. Convert me on condition I become a Kohen Gadol." So how would that be allowed? How could he accept him? How could that be acceptable? You can't come for some ulterior motive. So says the Gemara Tosos, but Tuachaya Hillel the Sofal Asos L'Shem Shemaim. He understood. Then he had to get this guy would end up doing L'Shem Shemaim. He knew. So therefore, initially his intent was wrong, but Hillel understood the person's personality that eventually it would be good, and therefore he accepted him. So now back inside the Gemara, halfway down the Amr, the Gemara says, Hanitan al Eishes Ish, Amar Rav, Ube Edim. It's only true if they're going to be Edim. What does it mean that they're Edim? So Rashi writes here, Be Edim, Hoditznan Yotzi Ze, Hachashid, Shekonsa, that the man was with an Eishes Ish, and then they get married, Kigon Shabo Edim al Kolorishon, Shira'u Shizinsa Ima. Only if they were Edim initially, that this Boel was with the Eishes Ish, that's when we say, if the Baal divorce her, and then she marries the Boel, we don't let them say married because they were Edim, that they were initially with each other. So Amar of Shesha, says, Amina, Kinaim, Vishachiv Rav. I was saying this when Rav was falling asleep. Amar Lahashmaisa. Titania, the Brisa says, Hanitan al Eishes Ish, Vyotsiwa al Yado, and then because the Boel, the Eishes Ish, had to get divorced from her Baal, Vinisgarsha, Vitachas Yadei Acher, Imkanas lo Yotzi. So here's the situation. If let's say she got divorced from her first husband, there was a Boel with Eishes Ish. Eishes Ish divorces Baal. Now Eishes Ish, she's single, remarries someone else, a different husband, and divorces from him, then she could go back to the original Boel, because there's an interruption of that, those rumors, because she married someone in between. That's what the Gemara says again. Hanitan al Eishes Ish, Vyotio, Ayado, Vniskarsha, Mitachas Yedei Acher, and she divorced her second husband, then Imkanas, if she goes back to the Boel, then Lo Yotzi. So hey Chidami, what's the case here? Idik Edim, if they're Edim initially, that she was with the Boel, Ki also Acher, even if she married someone in between, Vafske Kalakala, and the news ended because she got married and everyone forgot about the original story, my hobby, in the end of the day, if they're Edim that the Boel was the Eishes, they are also forever. So it can't be where there were Edim. El alav dulek Edim. It must be where there were no Edim. V'taima da'asa acher v'afske l'kala. And the only heter to marry the Boel is if she married another man in between. Ha'lav ha'chi, had there not been another marriage with somebody else, mafkin, we would not let them remain married. In other words, it doesn't depend on Edim, like Rav suggests. Rav said only when they're Edim. But this price seems to say, even if there are no Edim, we never let her marry that Boel. So amr l'cha Rav. Rav says no. The truth is, even if she did not marry another man in between, the lacha would still be the same. In other words, if there are Edim, they have to get a divorce. We can never let the Boel remain married to the Eishes Ish. If there are no Edim, we don't get divorced if the Boel marries the Eishes Ish. Meaning, if there were no Edim, even if she were to marry someone else in between, and one might think that the rumor stopped, and now she could marry the Boel and the Ishish, even then, l'chachil, we don't let them get married, even when there are no Edim. But if they were to get married, b'dieved, it's acceptable. But if there are Edim, then even b'dieved, we force them to get divorced. So now the Gemara says, Meisive. Bamed devar mamurim, when is this all true? Shein labanim. When is it true that what? If you look at Rashi on the 7-8 line, narrow lines up, Bamed devar mamurim, dim kanas, Hanitan Yotzi, that if the Nitan or the Boel, the Eishish and the Boel, when do we get make them get divorced? Kishein Labanim Minarishon. If there are no children for the first marriage, and then she gets married to the Boel, so we force her to get divorced from the Boel. Aval Yesh Labanim, she has children, Lo Teite, she does not get divorced. Rashi explains. Aval Yesh Labanim Minarishon, if she has children for the first marriage, Lo Teite, we don't let them make them get divorced from the Boel. Why? Because if, let's say, the Eishes Ish, after getting divorced from her Baal, she marries the Boel, and they say, wait a second, you guys are going to get married. Remember what happened a couple years ago? We make them get divorced. Now that looks back at her original children, and wait a second, those might be Mamzerim. And that would be a terrible thing if we don't know with certainty about Dinle Mamzerim. So therefore, we don't make them get divorced. Read that Gemara inside again. When do we make the Boel get divorced from the Eishes Ish? Kishein Labanim, when she has no children from her first marriage. If she has children from the first marriage, and then the Eishes Ish marries the Boel, lo teite, we don't make them get divorced, lest we start calling the first children from the first marriage mamzerim. Vimbao Edi Tuma, if Edi Tuma say, wait a second, we saw the Boel where the Eshes is, then I feel Eshes the Kama Banim Taita, even if she has many children from the first marriage, we have to have them get divorced because their mom is Edim Edi Tuma. So now, so what do we learn from this? If you look at Rashi to explain the question, Rashi writes three narrow lines up. Vimbao, Alma Ein Labanim below Edim Nami Mafkinam. So it sounds like that if there are no children, even without Edim, we would make them get divorced. Meaning, when do you need Edim? When they're children, we don't make them get divorced. But if the children and also Edim, we do make them get divorced. But if there are no children from the first marriage, even without Edim, we make them get divorced. So this is Akasha to Rav, who said only when there are Edim do they get divorced. But if there are no Edim, we don't get divorced. But again, this price says even without Edim, it applies, you don't get divorced. So Gemara says, Rav, Moki Leila Masisun B'yesh Labanim, B'yesh Edim. No! Our mission, why does he say our mission required Edim? It's because also where there are children in the picture. When there are children in the picture, we don't make them get divorced unless there are also Edim. That's what Rav's talking about. So asks the Gemara, Umay Dochka the Rav Lokmin Masisun B'yesh Labanim, B'yesh Edim. Why was he forced, why was he compelled to say our mission is a situation where there are both children and Edim? The time up, the Ika Edim, only because they're Edim, Afkinam. Be Leka Edim, if there's no Edim, Lo Mafkin, we don't make them get divorced because they're children. Why not say, Lokmi B'Shein Labanim? Maybe say it's where the wife has no children. The Alpha God, the Leka Edim, and even if there are no Edim, still we make them get divorced. So Amar Rav, Rav says, because Masisa and Kashisa, there's a difficulty in the Mishnah. My Iria, the Tanya Hotziuha. Let's say Hotzia. The extra Vav Hotzia sounds like Bezdin is forcing them to get divorced. What does that mean, Ella? Kol Hotziuha is Bebezdin. Ubebezin be'edim hudamafki. Bezin always works with edim. They need witnesses. They need evidence. So once we're talking about bezin, because the word hotziua tips us they're referring to bezin. Bezin means they're edim. Must be their edim. And that's why he says, if they're edim, why didn't edim? Must be edim is only necessary when they're also banim, children in the picture. And that's what tipped him off that our mission is a case of banim and also edim. That's the first shot in the Gemara. Then we'll do one more shot in the Gemara, Ibai on the mission. Ibai same alternatively, it could be really Hani Masnisa Rebbe. It's really the position of Rebbe. What does that mean? So even if there are no Edim, Rebbe holds nonetheless that one requires to get divorced. Rebbe holds, I'll say outside first, that whenever there's some inkling of the Ashes being with another man, even though there's not full proof, even though there are no Edim, but there's some funny things going on, that's enough of a reason to force them to get divorced. So here as well, even though there are no Banim, and even though there are Edim, we still force them to get divorced in this particular case. Look at Rashi first. Rashi writes, Ibai Yisema, four lines up. Ibai Yisema, below Banim, lo nafka below Edim. If there are no children, we don't make them get divorced without Edim. But Hani Masisa, Dami Nafki, but the Brisa that say we do make them get divorced is the Shita of Rebbe Amrinu, the Mapik Isha, Mibaila, but Koldu. Even if there's any small rumors, even though they're not so founded, that's enough for a reason to cause them to get divorced. So Rebbe is the author of all those Brises that say we do make them get divorced even without Edom. So what does Rebbe hold them? So the Gemara says that Tanya, Rochel, Yote, V'isha, Chogeres, Besinar, if a Rochel is a guy, he's selling Besam, going house to house, selling whatever the product. And then as he leaves, they see the woman tying her pants. What is she wearing? That's something strange going on. That would be grounds to have them get divorced. Amar Rebbe, Hol Mechuar Hadavar, since it's something discussing Teitze. A similar case of a Roch, Lamala, Mina, Kila, if there's some type of saliva on the top of the Kila, on the top of the bed, that indicates that she was lying down. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "And Roch, Lamala, Mina, Kila, a Rochel Yotze, the Rochel leaves the house, and Kai, Vamar Baal, the Baal comes home after the Rochel leaves and sees Rochel Lamala Begaga Kila, Shamitasa, sees some saliva on top of the bed. Mizar Ka Roch Lamala, who threw the Roch up? Ki Mashochev upon of Lamala, person who was lying down in the face above. Hokach Yzinsazu Rogaka Bishas Tashmish. Must be something happened during Tashmish. So that's Amar Rebbe, Hol Vimuchura Davar Teite. There's something strange going on. That's grounds to divorce her. And furthermore, the Gemara says on the top of Chafei, Minalim Hafuchim Tachasamita, they found some shoes, someone's shoes underneath the bed. Amar Rebbe, Hol Vimuchura Davar Teite, Minalim Teite. He found some man's shoes on the bed. That's good grounds to kick her out. So Gemara says, wait, that's too obvious of a reason. That's not just a kol, that's mamish evidence. Gemara says, Menalim Hafuchim, Lechse Demaninu, go see whose shoes they are. Ella, what it means is, Mokim Menalim Hafuchim. They saw something on the bed that was very messy that someone stuffed shoes out. Now, even though the shoes are not there anymore, but there's some indicator that someone put shoes upside down there. And these are all reasons to have them get divorced. This is Shita Rebbe. That again, and normally our Mishnah holds you mamish need Edim, but the other Brises say that when you be Teitze, even without Edim is referring to the Shita of Rebbe. Okay, so we'll stop here. And the Gemara tomorrow is going to continue this discussion of how you pass like Rav versus the Shita of Rebbe. Okay, it's a lot.
Rebbe Shita saying.